From Illinois Public Media News, this is The 21st Show. I'm Kimberly Schofield, sitting in for Brian Mackey. It's Friday, which means it's time for our reviews of the biggest Illinois news. Yesterday, Governor J.B. Pritzker made a long-anticipated announcement about the next step in his political career.
I'm running for re-election to protect our progress and continue solving the problems we face. I love this state, and it's the honor of my life to serve as your governor, to help lead through the most challenging of times and celebrate the most joyful ones together. I'm ready for the fight ahead. So whether you're at the center of Illinois or anywhere else, join me. Let's keep Illinois moving forward.
For the first time in more than four decades, a sitting Illinois governor will be seeking a third term. On top of that, the debate's continuing over whether Pritzker might seek even higher office. A lot of members of our texting group had thoughts about this. Anne in Urbana said, "I'd hate to lose him as governor, but would love him to be our president." And Lloyd in Danville wrote, "He won't neglect Illinois. If he runs, I'll definitely vote for him. If he wants to be president, I'll vote for him too." And he goes on to say, "JB has proven to be what Illinois needed for the time." Thank you both. You can join our texting group by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. That's the word TALK to 217-803-0730. And joining me now to talk about Pritzker's decision and what it means in Illinois politics is Rick Pearson, longtime chief politics reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Rick, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me, Kimberly.
Rick, to start off, what's Pritzker's pitch to voters?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. It really comes down to is a pitch that he will stand as a bulwark in defense of Donald Trump policies affecting Illinois. It's not really as much as a, you know, I've got these great proposals to that I want to push forward with, but it's almost like adopting an aggressive defensive posture against what he sees are things from the Trump administration that would infringe upon some of the progressive policies that have been enacted during his two terms.
Rick, I mentioned that this announcement's been anticipated for a while. This next election is already set to be a pretty significant shift for the Illinois Democratic Party. How does Pritzker's decision affect that dynamic?
Well, it does take one thing out of play, and that's if Pritzker had opted not to run again, and that would have created a massive scramble for the race for the Democratic primary for governor. But it also, I think his decision now ensures that he will be around and that his money will still be around as he has used that money to effectively build up a strong Democratic infrastructure. And that's also part of his interest in Illinois is ensuring a strong Democratic playing field from the state to the local level.
And Rick, let's set aside the presidential ambitions for a moment. What's the significance of this choice in Illinois political history? And it's worth noting that if he does make it through this term, he'll be the first Democrat to complete two terms as governor of Illinois.
Yeah, well, it's one is that you have to look back to when Republican Governor Jim Thompson ran and won four terms in 14 years. This would be, if he wins, would be the, you know, only the only other governor to last that long in duration. And, you know, it says a lot about what the climate of politics is in Illinois now versus then. Thompson, of course, being a Republican, one thing. The state was much more politically competitive during Thompson's tenure. I mean, he beat Edley Stevenson for re-election by 5,074 votes, the closest race statewide history. And it says, and now when you look at Illinois and its political competitiveness, it's not there anymore. And that's the real hurdle that Republicans face as they try to figure out who's going to be the best challenger to take Pritzker on.
We've talked a lot on the show about Pritzker's presidential ambitions. How have you seen his profile growing on the national political stage over the past year?
Well, it's grown significantly. And I mean, I think the real point after going through the him hosting the Democratic convention in Chicago, which I think was kind of a way for him to schmooze some of the party leadership. But really, the February State of the State speech, where he likened the rise of Trump 2.0 to the rise of Nazism and Germany in 1930s, that was like a lightning rod for Democrats across the country looking for somebody that could carry some kind of mantle against Trump. And since that speech, I mean, I'm not sure that there's any podcast that Pritzker hasn't done. Podcasts, national television appearances, Jimmy Kimmel Live, The View. It's certainly been in the works that he's wanted to increase his national profile. And he's always been a prolific donor with his wealth to national Democratic causes and interests and candidates. But this is definitely a much more ramped up kind of atmosphere that he's in. And despite his talk of, you know, I'm running for governor for 4 years, it's hard to really accept that at face value.
Rick, there have been some other Democratic voices saying that running for governor again may not be the best play if Pritzker wants to try for the presidency. Can you explain to us why that is and how Pritzker has responded?
Well, I think one of the main points here is that in being a vociferous critic of Donald Trump, that in a way, and obviously this is expected to continue, that in a way puts a target on the back of Illinois, some people feel, and particularly when it comes to the issue of federal funding and withholding funding. And now you have the U.S. Supreme Court ruling from today, and Trump in his opening remarks actually mentioned how it allows him to proceed with executive orders to withhold funding, federal funding from states, including states that have sanctuary policies regarding immigrants. So this could be a very tumultuous term as Pritzker, who has prided himself on righting the state financially, which truly is probably his greatest accomplishment after we had gone through the 2 years without a state budget under Bruce Rauner and a historic problem of balancing state finances. Now you throw into this the big question mark of federal funding, Medicaid funding, the SNAP program on nutrition, and that states may have to try to pick up that, which they can't do. It could be a very, very difficult time as he has to make some serious budgetary choices.
And we have a listener text from Aaron in Springfield. I would welcome a 2028 Pritzker presidential run, I believe, especially if he's thinking about it. He will make sure his lieutenant governor and executive staff are more than capable of keeping the lights on while he campaigns. Thank you, Aaron. Rick, that actually gets at a pretty big question about who will run as Pritzker's lieutenant governor. His current second-in-command, Juliana Stratton, is running in the Democratic primary to succeed Dick Durbin as U.S. Senator. Now, lieutenant governor is not typically a super important role in state government. How does that change if Pritzker runs for president?
Yeah, well, it changes a lot. I mean, truly, the role of the second banana in Illinois, there's only really two constitutionally prescribed duties, is one, to take over if the governor can't serve or quits or is incapacitated, and two, you do what job assignments the governor gives you. But in this case, obviously, with Pritzker looking at running for higher office, it does put more of an impact on who he selects as his running mate choice, should he run for president and should he win. Now, it's we're not like other states where if the governor leaves the state, the lieutenant governor takes over ex officio as governor. It's not like that in Illinois. But nevertheless, one thing that Pritzker has stressed is the managerial role of government. And I think that's really part of why he's running again, because he really likes that part of the job. And I think that's kind of what he is going to be looking for as he picks a running mate. And his time frame is relatively quick because candidate starts petition passing for the March primary. That starts on August 5th.
Thank you so much. This is The 21st Show. I'm Kimberly Schofield. For the first part of our Friday roundtables, we're talking about Governor J.B. Pritzker's decision to run for a third term as governor of Illinois, as speculation continues about him running for president in 2028. Some more thoughts from members of our texting group. A different Aaron in Springfield wrote, "He has neglected the state in his media tour. Good thing we have competent elected officials in the state Senate that are doing the heavy lifting. The legislative branch has many dedicated people doing great work that never get recognized or rewarded." And Wes in Rockford said, "Love Pritzker. Sincerely hope that he stays in Illinois. I have doubts about his presidential electability in a country that just elected Trump." And we're talking about all of this with the Chicago Tribune's chief political reporter, Rick Pearson. Rick, even when you're not running for president, when you're running for another term as governor, there's going to be questions about your legacy in office. What are some of Pritzker's biggest achievements in his time in office?
Well, I think you have to really go back to the first term that he had, and he accomplished a lot of things. Overall, as I said, I think really kind of brings some stability to the state finances. And when you had a state that was one credit level above junk grade status for bonds, and now the state has seen 9 upgrades, I'd say that's first and foremost. But then you look at things on the progressive agenda of strengthening availability and protections for abortion rights, LGBTQ rights. You look at raising the minimum wage, the issue of legalizing recreational use of marijuana, although that one still is somewhat of a difficult issue for Pritzker because the social justice aspect of licensing has not really panned out as well. But I think those are some of the major accomplishments.
Rick, where do the Republicans stand at this point as far as someone who could run against Pritzker?
There's really nobody of any significance that has yet surfaced. Perhaps the, quote, biggest name, unquote, would be Jim Mendrick, who is the county sheriff in DuPage County in suburban Chicago. But nobody really knows who he is, and he certainly doesn't have the resources to necessarily compete with a guy who's spent $350 million in his two elections. There are, of course, some rumblings of some of the more conservative members of the General Assembly, some from the Freedom Caucus from Southern Illinois. State Senator Dan Ugoste from the Western Suburbs is also mentioned. But it's also, these are people who are struggling to find that path for victory. And they're, unlike the past, the money necessary to compete against Pritzker, you don't have that kind of sugar daddy that existed in previous races on the Republican side.
And Rick, what lines of attack have there been for Republicans against Pritzker under the Trump administration?
Well, the easiest line of attack for Republicans, and we're going to be hearing this for the entire campaign, is about Pritzker's interest in the presidency, and that, you know, why would you elect somebody whose ambitions are not to serve in the job he's seeking, but wants to go even higher, and that Pritzker is using this as a stepping stone for his own personal ambitions and forsaking Illinoisans. That's going to be the Republican line, no matter what candidate is there. It's already the party line. And we're going to hear that just on repeat over and over again.
Rick, we have just over a minute left to go. We're well over a year away from the 2026 elections. A lot can happen in that time. But what are the biggest policy focuses for the governor's race at this point?
Well, certainly one is the things that were left unresolved from the end of the legislative session in Springfield, and perhaps one of the most significant ones. And while it's perhaps more focused into the Chicago area, it does have statewide ramifications, and that's the $771 million fiscal cliff for public transportation in the Chicago area. And while there are ideas of reforms of governance that have been pretty much accepted, it's how do you pay for it? And that's still a major hurdle that is going to be an issue that's going to be discussed, and no one's quite sure if the legislature is going to be able to resolve that anytime soon.
Rick Pearson, chief politics reporter with the Chicago Tribune. Rick, thank you for talking us through all of this today on the 21st Show.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And coming up after the break, we'll talk about some of the biggest news out of the Metro East part of Illinois in our reporter roundtable. A few more text messages from some who joined our texting group, Tony in Champaign, regarding Governor Pritzker. To my knowledge, he's never spoken out against Israel's Gaza war, so I can support him, especially after recent developments. It's not for that. His other ideas seem progressive. And Graham in Urbana says JB's been a fantastic governor. I had low expectations when he first ran. He goes on to say that he had surprised him over and over with his follow-through on caring for the people. Again, after the break, we'll talk about some of the biggest news out of the Metro East part of Illinois in our reporter roundtable. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st Show comes from listeners like you and the Des Moines Arts Center, located in Iowa's capital city, featuring works by regional, national, and international artists of the 20th and 21st centuries. Details are at Des Moines Arts Center. .org.